0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The league season's only just begun, but already it's time to argue and debate all things Scotland squad as Gordon Strachan names his group for upcoming qualifiers against Lithuania and Malta. It was another big weekend of Ladbrokes Premiership action. Rangers are already 5 points behind the league leaders, so is this a sign of things to come or just early season teething problems? Celtic are in Kazakhstan looking to complete their passage into the Champions League group stage. Surely it's all but done for Brendan Rodgers' side. Yes, all that, and we'll be kicking off our Old Firm golden ticket competition. And on that note, we've got our golden duo of Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. Are we both recovered from another blockbuster weekend of football action?
I thought it was a great weekend. I enjoyed looking at the highlights last night, and may I say straight away, Hamilton Aki's third goal at Easter Road is a thing of beauty and a joy forever. Well done, all concerned. Rakesh Bingham, the goal scorer, and poor old Martin Canning, who always gets dog's abuse from the Hamilton Aki supporters. They were terrific. It was a great weekend.
It may well be the team goal of the season already. What a fantastic move. Well done to them.
Well, we will get to that a bit later on. We'll hear from Martin Canning and Greg Docherty as well a bit later in the show. Plenty to come, as always, on a Monday night. But let's start with the latest news, if you will, Hugh Keevans. The Scotland squad's been announced. I won't run through it all at this moment in time, but call me an old-fashioned glass half-full type, Hugh Keevans. I like to start with who's in the squad rather than who's not in it. So pick it through for us. Tell us who's in it, who's caught your eye, and then maybe we'll move on to who's not in it in a minute or two.
Well, okay. I mean, Andrew Robertson, what a debut for Liverpool he had at the weekend. Fantastic. At a price of, what, £10 million for Liverpool, which is getting close to small change in England now. But sensational debut, wonderful crosser of the ball. So it's just a shame we specialise in producing fantastic fullbacks. up front, well, Lee Griffiths, but I don't have much confidence in the other three around him. Stephen Fletcher.
Oh, Fletcher
Chris
scored.
He's got a good
weekend.
Goal at the weekend.
He scored at the weekend.
But it's got to be Lee Griffiths.
Yeah.
He's our main hope. I mean, Gordon, we're hanging on by our fingertips to the hope of qualification. So Lithuania away, very important. We'll need Lee Griffiths there from the start. We'll also need Andy Robertson to play the way he did for Liverpool at the weekend.
But the thing is, you've got Kieran Tierney there as well too. They're probably the best in Britain, never mind the best in Scotland. And hopefully what they may well do again is put Tierney at right back. I would certainly do that. I would think about that as well.
Well, remember the England game, it was a back three, remember, with Tierney as one of the three.
I think you've got to think about that. But you know, when you look through it, you know, we've got great fullbacks. The centre back always annoys me, and I've said that for the last 2 or 3 years. The goalkeeper one looks after itself. You know, Craig Gordon's still there. He'll be the man in charge. Good to see Jordan Archer getting in. Somebody he's been playing in the, was it the 21s?
He's worked his way up.
So, you know, good for him, because when you're looking at Craig Gordon and Al McGregor, they're not getting any younger. We've got to start looking at young goalkeepers to come up. You know, you've got Griffiths here, the only natural striker, as far as I'm concerned. I think the great strength of the Scotland side, when you look at that midfield, you know, you've got 7 or 8 that's going to be trying to get 3 places or maybe even 4 places, and that's going to be a hard one for Gordon Strachan, because there is certainly a lot of talent in midfield.
Yeah, Jordan Archer, Craig Gordon and Alan McGregor are the goalkeepers. The defenders, Christoph Berra, Grant Hanley, Russell Martin, Charlie Mulgrew, Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney and Stephen Whittaker. Midfield, Stuart Armstrong, Barry Bannon, Scott Brown, Tom Kearney, Darren Fletcher, James Forrest, Ryan Fraser, James MacArthur, John McGinn, Matt Phillips, Matt Ritchie and Robert Snodgrass. And up front, Stephen Fletcher, Lee Griffiths, Chris Martin and Stephen Naismith. What do you make of that squad? 0141 951 1025. Who would you like to have seen in there? Let us know on the phone lines or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Hugh Keevans, if the online reaction is anything to go by, I know which name is going to crop up most often.
Callum McGregor. And I can understand that, because a manager of a national side can only go on club form. And Callum McGregor, not just because he scored at Kilmarnock on Saturday, of course not, but this fella is a scorer of big goals for Celtic, has, like most of them under Brendan Rodgers, matured, mushroomed, his talent is greater. And I just think that in a midfield section of our squad. What are there, 11 midfield players in there? For him not to be one of the 11 is quite astonishing.
I mean, you're not saying to go and play him right away, start him, but have him in the squad. Let him know he's involved with the Scotland team, and if he keeps playing the way he is, then Gordon Strachan certainly is going to be looking to him, you know, to in the future. Any friendly games that they've got, you'll get thrown in there. Just there are 12. Take him along
who,
with him.
Who are you leaving out? Because that's the golden rule on here. If you're going to suggest someone, you need to tell me who.
Okay, Barry Bannon.
Okay. Not impressed with what he's been doing so far.
Well, I mean, if you compare Barry Bannon, make a direct comparison between what he's been doing at Sheffield Wednesday and what Callum McGregor's been doing at Celtic. There are 12 midfield players there. How can Callum McGregor not be considered among 12 midfield players?
That's fine. Good enough for me. I just like to make you justify it.
You know, and you've got a man that's done well for Scotland, to be fair, Robert Snodgrass. Absolutely nothing against Robert, but he's hardly had a game for West Ham. Even end of last season, this season hasn't featured. They've now put him up for grabs. Anybody wants him can get him, and yet he's straight back into the Scotland team again.
We've got Paul and Gary on the phone lines waiting to discuss that Scotland squad, but let's hear from the man who picked it. Gordon Strachan's defending the decision not to hand Celtic midfielder Callum McGregor an international call-up. That's despite decent early season form. He had been tipped to earn a place in Strachan's squad for next month's qualifiers against Lithuania and Malta, but the managers instead recalled Matt Ritchie and Matt Phillips. Here's what Gordon Strachan had to say.
It's good, they're good players. Add to the squad we've already got, the squad that we had last time out, really proud of them, the way they worked. Really proud of the guys that didn't get a game, who handled that well, and what they put into it, because we had to do things behind the scenes to change my system a bit, and people had to play a position in practice games and things like that, so they did very, very well. A lot of it are close, but as I keep saying, if you look at that midfield and then the squad, then there's a lot of good players in there. A lot of good players in there, and a lot of players who have done very well for us over the last 3 or 4 years who we can rely on, and are playing at a good level as well.
Of course, there are injury doubts, as always, in the squad, plus places for the likes of Robert Snodgrass and Grant Hanley, who aren't featuring for their clubs. But Strachan says he's made allowances for that.
There's a few. That's why the squad is probably larger than normal. We've had a couple of doctors, club doctors, phone us saying one or two of the players are playing with maybe knocks that might need to have a rest. And there's a couple of players who are not in the team at the moment. So we made the squad a wee bit larger, so we have to keep an eye on them, the ones who have not played. Let's have a look at the fitness and monitor how the guys with knocks are.
There are 6 Celtic players in the squad. They of course should wrap up that Champions League qualification tomorrow night in Astana. Andy Robertson's also one who'll be playing in Europe's top club competition with Liverpool, and the Scotland boss says that should help everyone.
It's a huge thing, playing Champions League football. I think you go back 10 years where Rangers were playing regular European football and Celtic. Well, I think both clubs were sending about 10 players to the squads who are playing regular in European football. It makes a huge, huge difference. It's a great learning curve for the players on how to deal with big matches and atmosphere, and how to travel, how you deal with travelling. So, yeah, it makes a big difference.
Okay, straight to the phone lines then. Paul in Cumbernauld is a Celtic fan, but he wants to talk about this Scotland squad. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, maybe you just took the thunder away from me a wee bit, you and Derek, but I mean, we're going to listen to this manager, the same old, same old. I mean, he's saying they've done great, this midfield, for the last 3 or 4 years. What have they done? They've embarrassed this man at every turn, every turn. Now, they put Lee Griffiths on. It took him a year to pick Griffiths, a year before Griffiths got a game. The boy McGregor has played 16 times since Christmas out of 22 league games. 16 times started, and he can't put him in that midfield. It's an absolute disgrace.
Do you know what you have to respect though, Paul? It's his call. Yeah. He's the manager, and you have to respect his call. And when the bad calls outnumber the good calls, he gets to go to La Manga and play golf on a regular basis, because he won't be the manager anymore.
But you see, he shouldn't be there just now. It's contempt. The man, honestly, he treats the fans with contempt. That midfield there, 4 of them that don't even get a game for their club in the championship.
Paul, is it worth remembering that we go into this game on the back of 4 points from the last 2 qualifiers, minutes away from what would have been a famous win against England? I understand where you're coming from, but is it not at least understandable that he was going to stick with a very similar group for this one?
No, I totally totally disagree with you, because the only reason we are there, and let's be honest about it, is because Lee Griffiths banged the 2 goals in.
Yeah, but he did it. Yeah, but that's what he's there for, and he was picked. He was picked that day, and it worked. So we can't really, Hugh, surely we can't go back to mistakes that were made years ago. If he's in the squad now, he's in the squad now.
As I say, you must respect the manager's right to choose who he wants, and when managers get it wrong, they normally get the sack. And Gordon's had a failed qualification campaign behind him. If this one ends in failure as well, I can't see Gordon getting a third qualification campaign. And, you know, okay, he's left out a Celtic player, but you can't insinuate that Gordon's in some way anti-Celtic. He's a former Celtic manager.
There are six players in the squad.
He's got to make the choice. And for me, you have to pick people that are on form and playing at a decent level, and certainly McGregor is doing that in European football as well as playing for Celtic. And I look at, you know, and I'm not having a dig here at Robert Snodgrass. I think he's a smashing player. He's done well for Scotland, but he hasn't featured for West Ham. He's out in the cold. You know, and is he match sharp? Why even put that? There's a chance. As I say, we'll look at the squad. We've got to be looking at youngsters coming in for the future of the game. And you've got somebody that's playing out his skin just now, scoring goals, doing his turn in midfield. Get him in the squad. I'm not saying play him, but get him in there involved to show him what it's like.
In the case of Robert Snodgrass, Derek, someone who's been such a key member of the squad, is it likely that he would be left out on the last couple of weeks?
But he's not been playing. That's the difference.
That's what I mean. Is that enough for you to wipe away the memory of what's gone before?
He's a smashing player, but is he sharp enough to play for Scotland? If he's chosen, I'm saying, he might not even be chosen, but he's in the squad. So I'd like to think he's one of the first picks that, you know, the manager picks all the time, but he hasn't played. So for me, there's a question mark there right away.
Paul, as I said, the number one rule, if you're going to tell me who should be in, tell me who he takes the place of then.
Oh, I could take the place off any one of them. You could toss a coin.
Right, pick one. Come on.
I would pick Bannon. I would pick.
Poor Barry Bannon's getting picked on tonight.
At the end of the day, look at the forward line. Why not put the young boy at Hibs in instead of Naismith and Norwich and what's your?
You mean Simon Murray?
Well, again, you know, Gordon has got a qualification campaign that is in trouble, and Simon Murray hasn't had an international cap or come anywhere near it. And, you know, you've got to go with Lee Griffiths first and always while he's in the kind of form that he's in. Yeah. I mean, Simon Murray's had a terrific season. It stumbled on Saturday with the rest of the Hibs players, but it's not feasible.
He's a smashing player, but not at the right time. You know, I agree with that. I think he's a big lad. He's got pace and he knows where the goals are. I think you're right. Simon Murray is one for the future. Now, I would like to think if Scotland do go out of this competition, then there will be changes. The manager will go, somebody new will come in, and you'll have to be looking for new faces.
Thanks to Paul in Cumbernauld. Gary and Bishop Briggs is on the phone as well. Gary, talk to us.
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hello.
I'd like your opinions on how Gordon Strachan can justify having Grant Hanley in the squad.
Well, I mean, Grant Hanley doesn't get a game for Newcastle or anything like it. I don't think Grant Hanley is top draw defender anyway, but we're not replete with great defenders, so that perhaps explains why he's there. Christoph Berra had a good game for Hearts at the weekend, but his career has had its best bits probably, but he's there as well because we're not rich in choice in that particular area.
Listen, we haven't had a domineering centre half for many, many years. You know, and I've said that, you know, in the last 2 years, you, I would like to think there's somebody coming through that's going to get a chance to do that. But I'm looking around and somebody Scottish centre half, I don't see. The young lad Souter was promising a couple of seasons ago and he's had a great shot on Saturday, 35 yards off the bar. But I want somebody that can defend and defend
if
his own box.
If you look down the list of defenders, Gordon, for me, Ikechi Anya isn't a defender, full stop. Christoph Berra, as I say, distinguished career, but the best part of it is behind him. Grant Hanley, no, can't see it. Russell Martin, for me, no thank you. Charlie Mulgrew is now playing the third tier of English football with Blackburn Rovers. Stephen Whittaker, back up from Norwich, doing reasonably well with Hibs, but it's early days yet for him. The two outstanding defenders we have are the fullbacks, Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney.
Gary, if you don't want Grant Hanley in there, who do you want? Because as the guys say, we don't seem to have too much choice in that area of the pitch.
Well, the thing is, Grant Hanley's not played first team
football. That's what I'm saying. I totally accept that. So who do you replace him with? Who would you like to see in as a central defender?
Well, Charlie Mulgrew's playing regular.
He's in the squad.
You could actually go down to any public park on a Saturday afternoon and pick a better amateur centre-half than Grant Hanley.
Right, well, that's probably unlikely, Gary. So let's stick with guys who are actually playing football. Charlie Mulgrew is in the squad. Okay, so you don't want Grant Hanley in. Which Scottish central defender do you want to take his place?
Anyone except Grant Hanley.
Right. Hugh, the only one I can think of, Mark Reynolds has been tried in the squad before. Liam Cooper at Leeds has also been in the squad before. I noticed he kept another clean sheet for Leeds, or was part of a clean sheet for Leeds at the weekend. That's his second clean sheet of the season, playing in the Championship, which we know is a league that Gordon Strachan clearly fancies. But Liam Cooper aside, I accept that Gary, this is a bit of an understatement, but Gary doesn't rate Grant Hanley, in case you hadn't got that. Realistically, this is not the same. It's not the same as the midfield argument, because we've got loads of midfielders.
Realistically, we have two of the best players in Great Britain in Kieran Tierney and Andrew Robertson, and they will be in both fullback positions. What's left?
Unless we play the back three again, because Tierney played, remember, as one of a back three with Robertson outside him against England.
We'll see how Gordon goes in Lithuania, but in the choice of defenders, you have two of the best players in Britain, Tierney and Robertson. The rest are old war horses. But Gordon doesn't have a great deal of choice beyond that, so it'll be old war horses. We've got two blindingly obvious stars of today and tomorrow in Tierney and Robertson. The old war horses will take up the rest.
But you know what, Hugh, you're right. See if you're playing three at the back this time, I would do that with your two great fullbacks, and even if it's Christoph Berra in the middle of these two, because you've got Scott Brown, who does a marvellous job for Celtic, just playing in front of that back three, making sure nobody gets through there. So there are ways, and we have to be attack-minded against Lithuania. We'll have to beat them. So I think you do that. You go with your players that are in form for this game.
It's a busy show as always on Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After that disappointing draw at the weekend, we're going to hear from Rangers boss Pedro Caixinha. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers as well. And a bit later in the show, we've got our Old Firm Golden Ticket competition. That's all coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Loads of you getting in touch about this Scotland squad on Twitter. Sean Gillespie says Christie, McLean, Shinney, McGregor, Souter and Barry Mackay, the young ones for the future, missing from the Scotland squad. And Kevin Gold says I would put Jason Cummings in to replace Stephen Naismith. What do you think? I'm sure this debate will rage on and on and on, but in the meantime, let's take a look back to some of the weekend's action, because after a second consecutive game without a win at Ibrox, Pedro Caixinha says he's frustrated but not concerned by Rangers' start to the season. The defeat to Hibs followed by that goalless draw with Hearts has put Rangers 5 points off the pace in the Ladbrokes Premiership, but Caixinha is confident that goals will come.
Yeah, frustrating result, of course. It's the second game in a row that we didn't win. I think that today we dominate the game from the beginning until the end. We create enough chances to score, but we could not score. So I need to be happy with the efforts that the players did, with the overall, the way we dominate the game and don't allow the opponent even to sink in attack. But we could not score, so I'm frustrating regarding to it and disappointed. But we know that we are growing as a team and we keep looking forward. No, it's not a concern. As I always used to say, it's a concern when you don't create chances. When you create chances the way you create today and dominating the game the way you dominated, so I'm not concerned. The only point that maybe I need to understand that we need to play with a little bit more tempo with a possession, so the ball moving quicker and being more aggressive to create space, to attack space, and the ball arriving on the lesser. So it's the only point that I maybe refer today that we could not do it the way we need to do it and the way we are capable to do it. So we need to focus on that and keep working in that direction.
And Caixinha says he's glad teams are now beginning to respect Rangers as a team, and he says that wasn't always the case last season.
Of course, I know that this football club is about winning games. We know that we are building a new team, and we know that the boys that we have down there in the dressing room, so as us, are winners. So we keep looking in that direction. We know that we are going to face more opponents like this, respecting us. So that's one point. When I arrived here last season, for example, playing in Ibrox, I understood that the teams were not respecting us. And today I feel that respect the way the teams approach the game. So that's one step ahead. And we need to keep going in that direction because they are winners, we are winners. And we know that only with hard work and together we are going to win games. And that is all about in this massive club.
Hugh Keevans, Pedro Caixinha says he's not concerned yet. It seems that there are some Rangers fans who are concerned though at the moment.
I'll give you that great old cliche. The game's about fine margins. I've only seen 5 minutes of Rangers against Hearts. For me, on another day, they might have been a bit luckier and might have won the game, and we wouldn't be having the discussion we are about to have. But they didn't win. 1 point from six at home against Hearts and Hibs. They are 5 points behind Celtic, Aberdeen and St Johnstone, and people are getting restless. So I think that at Dingwall on Sunday, Rangers must win before we have the international break. They must win, or else that restlessness is going to get much, much worse.
Well, I think you should be concerned, you know, because it's all about, you know, winning matches. It's all right saying that they're dominating games, which they are. And you're right, Hugh. I watched the same as you. I only saw that the 5.5, 6 minutes you get on the television. And basically, they should have won the game, but they didn't. You know, Arsenal, and it was said on Saturday night, 73% of possession Arsenal had against Stoke and got beat 1-0. You know, it's what you do with the ball that matters, in and around the box. And Rangers don't have the sharpness. There's a lack of a cutting edge up front. And I'm not going to repeat what I've been saying for the last 14 months.
Oh, go on.
That's it. No, they need somebody. I just watched somebody on the television, a young Hernandez for
Chicharito.
West Ham. Honestly, he's a predator in the box. The ball's hitting the bar. Who's the first one onto it? Him. The goalkeeper has a great save. Palms it wide. Who's on the end of it to stick it in? That's what I'm talking about, a predator. So I know it's easy saying that. It's where you find them. But that is what Rangers need. There's not enough penetration up front. Some decent stuff. They get a clean sheet on Saturday. Better than certainly they did 7 days previous. You know, in midfield, they're working hard. Can maybe create a wee bit more from midfield, you have to say. But up front, they're certainly not sharp enough.
Well, let's try and get a flavour of what the Rangers fans are thinking after the weekend. Charlie is a Rangers fan in Airdrie. Charlie, how are you feeling?
Not too good about the team at all. Talked to Derek, please.
He's all yours.
Derek.
Hi, Charlie.
I was at a game Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Big Wallace. He played a blinder, he played well. I think he was the best player in the park, to tell you the truth, for Rangers. I seen him signing to the players. I was good, he's back. He's hand behind it, but he's back. Telling the player to run on. I can't remember who the player was, but he completely ignored him. I don't think the guy is getting the respect he's due as a captain. He's trying his best, as I say. He was the best player in the past, as far as I was concerned. And I just can't believe it. I'm a wee bit of a gambling man, and I'm not a heavy gambler, but I backed Rangers at 91, and I backed him at 12-1. And I was looking today, and I route to 25-1 now.
Just to win the league, you mean, Charlie?
Just to win the league, aye. I just can't. I'm not worried too much about not getting the money to laugh, but what I'm saying is, I've got a season ticket, so I have to go and grin and bear. That's the way I feel about it.
I think it's
going. I don't know what the score is with this guy at £2 million. I don't know where they don't bring him on.
Penya, yeah.
They've got this guy, and I must be that up for it. Well, they went down there for the Celtic game or something.
I mean, he's a mystery to everybody. You know, the reason you got there is not playing. He's not fit enough. He's been on the bench. I think he came on for 10 minutes. A couple of weeks ago
he came on against Hibs. I think from memory it was a bit longer. He actually got a decent portion of the second half, but we've not seen too
much
of him.
He's supposed to be the man that's box to box. I have never seen him. I'd never heard of him, if I'm perfectly honest with you. But you know, he's supposed to be a good player, but you know, we can't have him in the stand. He's got to be on the park. You know, Charlie, you're on about Lee Wallace there, Charlie. We had a couple of Rangers fans on the phone on Saturday after the game saying that Lee Wallace was terrible, and it's about time they got rid of him. You know, but that's how fickle people are. You know, that's why football's such a great game. Everybody sees it differently. I mean, I didn't see the game, so obviously I can't say whether he played well or not. But I think there's a lot of Rangers fans came on Saturday and weren't rid of the manager right away. That's not going to happen. I know they're frustrated, and rightly so. They should be frustrated. But he's got to get a wee bit of time. Listen, the fans will dictate whether the manager stays or not. In the next half a dozen games, if he's only won one or whatever, leading up to the Celtic game, and he loses that, then anything can happen. It doesn't matter what Dave King says. We're keeping this manager. We trust in him. If he loses all these games and he's so far behind, never mind Celtic, he's so far behind Aberdeen and St Johnstone, teams like that, Hibs, then something will happen. So he knows fine well it's all right talking the talk here. You know, I'm not worried about we're not scoring goals. Well, Pedro, I think you should be, because you've got to start winning games.
Hugh, timing is everything in football, because this is only two games. Okay, Rangers, they lost against Hibs and they failed to beat Hearts. It's only two games. It's a long season. However, when it comes at the beginning of the season and you've got a new look squad and there's that early season optimism, fans are looking for something to believe in, something to get behind, to build their belief in, aren't they?
The problem that Rangers have now is that it is conceivable that Celtic and Aberdeen could be 8 points ahead of Rangers before they play at Dingwall on Sunday. So therefore the pressure mounts on Pedro Caixinha and the Rangers players. I happen to think if things remain as they are, and let's say the 5 point gap stays, but Celtic go to Ibrox and win emphatically on the 23rd of September, I don't think there's any way back for Pedro Caixinha.
Charlie, how are you feeling about the manager? Because many callers on Saturday, whether it was that sort of immediate disappointment from the game, but many callers called up here wanting him to go. Are you willing to give him more time at the moment? Yes.
You talk to me, Gordon?
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah. No one cares what these two think. Come on, I want to know what you think.
Well, I listen to his interviews and all that, and I think he just talks in riddles. I thought he was going to be good for us, but I'm gradually losing faith in him, to tell you the truth. I can't understand it. Mm. And it's all these players and stuff, doing England and that, and they're scoring goals galore and all that. I'm glad they're all here, right, you know, because they were the exact same.
See, that's why
there's some
real anger I brought to do. I don't know what it is. This
whole side issue that's built up around. Yeah, rub salt in the wounds, doesn't it, when you see Barry McKay and Joe Garner and Martin Waghorn.
Yeah. But as I say, I don't recall any protests in the street when any of these players were allowed to go. So for me, it's an unfortunate coincidence for Pedro Caixinha that they're all scoring at the moment. But that's not the issue. The issue is the manager, his signings, his tactical nous, all of which are being questioned by the Rangers supporters.
So Charlie was gradually losing patience. What about Colin in Easterhouse?
Hi Gordon, hi Derek, hi Joe.
Hi Colin.
I'm absolutely fine with Pedro in the news, no more Gordon. Can I just give you the SFA list in the last statement?
Well,
Somebody from them, more than likely, yes.
Can I give you a wee plea? Can we get Jim Duffy into the Scotland job as soon as possible, please? Because Gordon Strachan just does not have it. That's my grant about Gordon Strachan.
Gordon Strachan will get the remainder of the qualification campaign, of course. And if we do not qualify, then the debate will begin over whether he should remain as manager. I would guess that if we don't qualify, Gordon Strachan will simply say goodbye. And then the SFA...
He won't wait for the SFA to do anything.
But the SFA then have to make the right choice as his successor.
Oh, honestly, so much pessimism around the Scotland team on here already. What about your Rangers team, Colin? What was your initial point you called up for?
Derek, I've had this conversation with you before. I'm going to reiterate that.
Right.
Kenny Miller's going to get Pedro the sack. The guy has no glory. His first touch is abysmal. So it is. He runs about like he's just chicken into the... He's ain't off. Everything. He's not where he should be. There he is there. The guy's got a lot of energy, and he's all Rangers, definitely. But that doesn't cut it on the field. He's playing for Rangers anywhere. The guy's first touch has let them down badly.
Well, I've watched a couple of games this season, pre-season games and whatnot, and I thought Kenny Miller's probably the best forward that Rangers have had, to be perfectly honest. I mean, that's not saying much the way they're playing just now. But I agree with you, and I've said on a number of occasions, he's coming far too far back to pick up the ball. I know if he doesn't get a touch, he wants to get involved, and that's why he comes back in his own half. But then I feel sorry for the other striker that's up there on his own, who's not getting any help. But again, that's down to the manager to say, look, Kenny, I don't want you coming back. You're 37 years of age. I want you to do all your running in the last third. You and your partner, the two of you, try and get as a unit, you know, and play alongside each other.
How can you narrow this debate down to one individual? That individual being the guy who was the heartbeat of the club before Pedro Caixinha got there. I mean, what about the week before where Simon Murray, who 5 years ago was playing for Dundee Violet, is giving Bruno Alves and Cardozo a hard time of it, and Hibs are scoring 3 goals at Ibrox? How can you narrow this down to Kenny Miller?
I'm not just... Uh, sorry, Hugh. I'm not just putting it down to Kenny Miller. Well, obviously, it's a work in progress, right? But Kenny, I watch Kenny Miller every week, Hugh, and I love him as a player. So I don't get me wrong, he's been brilliant for Rangers. But the guy's just not voting anymore.
So, Colin, what do you do, Colin? You're obviously not keen on Kenny Miller. So what do you do up front?
Stick Carrera and Cardoso.
Morelos, you mean? Morelos, yeah.
I'm sorry, Morelos and Herrera up for at least four or five games together. Let them see if they can form a partnership, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Because the partnership between Cardoso and Miller isn't working.
Morelos,
yeah.
Morelos, sorry. You know what I mean? It's not working.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming weeks. Thanks as always to Colin in Easterhouse for his call. Willie's also a Rangers fan. He's in Cumnock. And Willie, I think you're also a bit unhappy with the Rangers attack at the moment.
Well, unfortunately, as Derek said for years, between Halloran, Mackay, Gardner, who I would have kept, certainly, I thought Pedro might have because he's in Devon, although he was a bit over the top at times. I thought Ryan, Jack and Dorns were the worst two men in the park on Saturday. How's that for a bit of controversy?
And Derek,
I dropped Jack because of the fact that he got involved. I know Stokes and all that was out of order last week. But to me, Kenny Miller, on as the captain last week, should have said to them in the tunnel or even in the dressing room, Lennon will have them fired up, he'll have you wound up, just play football, don't get involved. And then, of course, everything happened. And then Jack gets sent off, although it's been the Sunday. I would personally have played Rossiter and bench Jack on Saturday because Rossiter's a better football player. He's one of the best football players we've got at Ibrox when he's fit, and he's not getting a chance. Now, I've been screaming for Hadley for about three or four seasons when Warburton came out with the batter. They've got to see the first team. Now, that was quoted with him. That was his exact words. Now, we had four corners, one after the other, before Pedro put him on. Why did he not put him on for the high ball before we came the first corner? The play was stopped. That doesn't make sense. He's got the worst record than any Rangers manager in so short a time. Between Hampden, the 5-1 game, when the sheep beat us after 25 years. And I don't know, I just can't see anything except grief. Morelos is trying hard. I don't understand where the Kenny Miller situation is coming from, because the keeper had a great save from Miller in Saturday.
Should have scored,
and also he had the post. So I know you didn't see it, Derek. So you can't condemn Miller. I don't like the fact that he comes back, he's playing like left back and all the rest of it. But you don't know what Petro said to him. I just don't understand that these tactics. He's coming up with the same pattern that Warburton did. Now, Warburton wasn't man enough to put his hand up and say, I can't take this team any further. Because he couldn't. And he was looking for a way out. And I don't want this to happen in a couple of months' time when we're maybe 10, maybe 15 points behind them. And I'm not talking about Celtic.
Yeah.
Now, Halloran is still at Ibrox, technically, because he's on loan, the way Halliday is.
He's only there to January, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, unless they sign him or whatever. But the bottom line is, they can't date in a Rangers jersey.
Correct.
But the boy Hardy, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Now, Stuart McCall's the last manager that gave him a chance, and he scored a brilliant overhead kick.
At Dumbarton.
And another goal at Dumbarton, when nobody else could score at Dumbarton.
And he scored, I went to see them, the under-20s, last week as well, and he scored another good goal. But you're right, he's somebody who gives you effort, Hardy, and he certainly knows where the goals are. It's a good shout you make. And, you know, the young lad's been out for the last two seasons at different clubs scoring goals. So, yeah, you're maybe right. Maybe it's time for the young Scot to get a run in the side.
Okay, thanks to Willie in Cumnock. We'll be looking ahead to Celtic's game in Kazakhstan tomorrow very shortly. That's all after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.
Beat the Pundit is not too far away on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we've got our Old Firm Golden Ticket competition. It's like Quiz Central in here this evening, but plenty of good prizes to be given away. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson, as always, joining me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans, Celtic have trained in Astana today.
Yep.
Brendan Rodgers has held his pre-match media conference. The headline, if you will, is that he wants to think of it as if it's 0-0. Easier said than done?
Not at all. Not for Brendan Rodgers. He'll send them out to play in that fashion. You know, I don't like it when people assume that Celtic are in Thursday's draw. Celtic will work to be in Thursday's draw. We've had enough calamities come our way where European football is concerned this season. So Celtic will just want to do a professional job, and as Brendan Rodgers said, treat it as if it's 0-0 and go on in that fashion.
Honestly, Hugh, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. I mean, Celtic are through. There's no danger of that. There's absolutely no chance of Astana getting anywhere near it. Celtic will be more relaxed. They won't be fired up as if it was a one each or a nothing each, and they're out there giving it. They know they're through the next round, and they will do a professional job.
Yeah.
They may even still win the game because they've nothing to lose, basically, Celtic. They'll go out there and join themselves.
Celtic fans, what do you make of it? 01419511025. Is it all done? Are there any nerves out there whatsoever? Let us know, or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Hugh, I suppose the other point of this is Brendan Rodgers. We know the way he treats these things. He wants to win every game. But if Celtic are, as we assume, going to go into the Champions League group stages, then isn't this a great learning experience, a great chance to go to a difficult place logistically on a difficult surface, win the game? Wouldn't that fill them with all sorts of confidence going into the group stages?
I think Celtic showed that if they weren't
confident enough already. I mean,
against Rosenborg and Trondheim, Celtic showed that they can play that European style of football, and it's been put into them by Brendan Rodgers since he got there. Celtic just know how to handle matches now, domestically and in Europe, in a way that they did not do before Brendan Rodgers got there. So they will retain the ball, they will look to keep a clean sheet, and what a feather in the manager's cap if they can keep a clean sheet throughout the whole qualification campaign while having all sorts of defensive problems through injury.
Craig is a Celtic fan in Dunmarnock. Craig, I think the Astana manager says Celtic are 99% through. What are your percentages looking like at the moment?
Good evening, panel. Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly, 100% guaranteed that we should go through, but what I'm thinking is, obviously, when we do qualify, we definitely need a centre-half, and that worries me a bit if we don't get a good quality centre-half in,
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. For me, Dedryck Boyata, although Brendan Rodgers describes him as his number one central defender, I think at Champions League level, I'm not convinced that he's the real deal, nor am I convinced that Sviatchenko is the real deal at Champions League group stage, and even Jozo Simonovic. All the speculation about possible £10 million bid from Burnley.
I think it was at Copenhagen that are supposed to be interested in Sviatchenko as well, if you believe the reports this morning.
But for me, if we are looking ahead to Celtic in the group stages, I think Craig's absolutely right that Simonovic, Dedryck Boyata and Sviatchenko, for me, none of them fill me with confidence.
Yeah, well, they were linked, of course, with Rivaldo Kotze, the Ajax Cape Town defender.
That's not on either.
He's also apparently injured now after the weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see if that puts that potential move to bed. Craig, Brendan Rodgers wanting to treat it like a 0-0. Would you feel a lot better about the group stages if Celtic go out and manage to win this thing tomorrow, or is it just a case of getting into the hat no matter what happens?
I think it's obviously important that we get through first and foremost, but I think it'd be a great thing for Celtic and for Scottish football, if we turned up tomorrow and put a performance in, which I think we will do, I just think, going back to the centre-half, we definitely need one, Beaton had a fantastic game in the first game at Park Edge, but this is a guy who's possibly, once the centre-half comes back in, he's not even going to get a game for Celtic at all, so it's an interesting one. We certainly need a centre-half.
And Craig, I know you did want to make a point about Callum McGregor. I need to move it on quite quickly, but I don't want to rob you of that chance, so I take it you're surprised as the rest of the Celtic fans are?
I am just a bit annoyed, with Gordon Strachan. I maybe think it's time for Gordon to go, he's sticking by too many of his old ones, he's gone on about, he's got the same players for 3 or 4 years, but this is 3 or 4 years later, we need the young guys who are on form, know your Banny Bannons, your guys, Snodgrass, for example, who hasn't even played this season, just a bit disappointing, that he goes with his so-called tried and trusted, I just think it's sad for a young guy who's playing really good football at the moment.
Well, what I would say to you, Craig, is, if you're going to pick a squad on form, current form, Callum McGregor should be in it, not out of it.
Stephen's also a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. Stephen, looking ahead to that game in Kazakhstan tomorrow, how are you feeling?
I'm pretty confident, as every Celtic fan is, of course, but There'll be no complacency tomorrow because, as I say, Brendan Rodgers won't allow it, or Scott Brown. We'll go out and do a professional job, as Big Derek and Q said, and I'm confident we'll beat them tomorrow because you're going to obviously open up it. Some it is.
Are you on the train, Stephen?
No, I'm not, mate. I'm on my hands free. Is that a bit of echo?
It's just a bit noisy. Don't worry. You're okay at the moment. Carry on.
I just wonder, Stephen, about the attitude of the Astana players, because they looked shell-shocked by what happened to them at Celtic Park. Now, I'll factor in anything you like. They were playing, the players from Kazakhstan were playing at what was basically the middle of the night for them. They didn't look too bad the first half hour, but when Celtic got their opening goal, they imploded. I'm just wondering, you know, there's been such a controversy in their country caused by this 5-0 defeat. People very angry that they've let down Kazakhstan, as it were. So I'm just wondering about their attitude tomorrow, whether they're totally subdued as Celtic pass the ball around, or whether they come out on fire. But either way, Brendan Rodgers will have Celtic schooled in such a way that there'll be no calamities.
Stephen, you expect them to win the game?
I expect Celtic to win the game, as I say. I think the Astana will come out all guns blazing, and I think in a way that'll suit us, because it'll leave us space out the flanks, you know, so it's spent to attack down the wings, you know, and with Griffiths in the up front, I'm confident that we're going to get the result tomorrow. And it's the first time in a long time that Celtic fans are confident that we can go away from home in Europe and get results.
That's important as well. You know, Astana will be absolutely raging because of the stick they got, you're right, Hugh, after that first game. Everybody had their say in it. So there's no doubt in my mind that these players are going to have to go out and show the fans and the people of Kazakhstan that they're a lot better than the 5-0 at Celtic Park. So look for a different game tomorrow night.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now we are going to talk about that wonderful team goal scored by Hamilton Accies at the weekend. We'll hear from Martin Canning. Plenty more to come in terms of looking back over the weekend as well. But now is the time to call if you want to take part in Beat the Pundit. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson both standing by. Let's see if we can get the punters up and running on a new week. Dial now 0141 951 1025. That's to play Beat the Pundit, and it's coming up after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are also here. Hugh, just before the news, we were talking about Celtic's defensive options. We mentioned the potential signing of Rivaldo Coetzee from Ajax Cape Town. Well, no official word on this from Celtic's end yet, but Ajax Cape Town have put on their own Twitter feed, "We are extremely proud to announce an agreement with Celtic for the sale of defender Rivaldo Coetzee has been concluded." So certainly looks as if he is one who's on his way to Celtic, and that just follows on from what we were discussing about the defensive options.
Yeah, it also fits the Celtic profile. Get them in at a relatively low fee, and if they are as good as you think they are, then in the fullness of time, somebody comes in and gets them, such as Ki Sung-yung, Victor Wanyama, Virgil van Dijk, Fraser Forster. Moussa Dembele is there, perhaps, for the future in that regard. So Rivaldo Coetzee will come in, ironically, after a good weekend for Christopher Ayer at the back for Celtic. So, I don't know, does he go straight into the team? Is he that good? We'll have to wait until he gets here, we'll find out.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now it's time for Beat the Pundit. Tonight's contestant is James Devine in Battlefield. James, how are you?
I'm good, how are you, Gordon?
Yeah, good, thanks, James. You're a Celtic fan, confident for tomorrow? Job done?
Yeah, certainly. I'm 5-0 away, so you can't... 5-0, away goal in the early 10 minutes, that'll be us.
Just get the nerves at ease. I can just imagine it, Hugh. Can you imagine the unthinkable if Astana were to score early on? Do you think there would be some panic in the ranks?
Yeah, Celtic deserve the praise they get for the transformation that's taken place under Brendan Rodgers. I'll go back to that game against Trondheim. 0-0 at Celtic Park. In the past, the fans would have been watching that game in Trondheim through the cracks of their fingers. But Celtic played well. James Forrest scored. And they'll put up a highly professional show in Kazakhstan. James, were you, did I pick you up wrong there? Are you tipping Celtic to win 5-0 there as well?
No. You said 5, you meant 5-0
No, he was 5-0 last week, so an early goal this week, and that's settle the nerves and get the kids on.
Right,
rest the big guy.
Speaking of settling the nerves, James, how are you feeling ahead of Beat the Pundit? Who would you rather play?
I'm not too fussed.
That's not fussed. That's what I like. Bring them on. Bring them on.
Right,
okay. Well, heads, it's going to be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's going to be Derek Johnson. Let's see. Oh, it's tails, Derek. It's you. You're up tonight. So,
right.
James against Derek. Let's see if we can.
Good luck, James.
Listen to something else.
Good luck, Derek.
It's fine. Derek's got the headphones on. He's listening to something else. James, you know the way this works, but I'll just refresh your memory. It's 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many as you can. Of course, you can pass, so just try and get through as many as you can, all right?
Yeah, no problem.
Right, good luck to you. Your time starts now. Which Scottish team have won their first three league games for the first time since the 1991 season? Gary Naismith is the current manager of which Scottish Championship side? Gary Naismith.
Quick.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic domestically back in May 2015?
Aberdeen.
Shakhtar Donetsk and Olympic Donetsk are teams from which country? Quick.
Kiev, no.
Oh, right. Out of time, let's bring Derek Johnson back. You with us?
Oh, sorry. Bob Marley giving it Yahoo. This.
That's the worst. You're definitely one of the wheelers.
Right.
That was bad.
Oh, don't give it away, James. Let's wait and see. Just you wait and see. Derek, you ready?
Here we go.
Right. Which Scottish team have won their first three league games for the first time since 1991 season?
St Johnstone.
Gary Naismith is the current manager of which Scottish Championship side?
East Fife.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic domestically back in May 2015?
Aberdeen.
Shakhtar Donetsk and Olympic Donetsk are teams from which country?
Russia.
Who plays their home games at the KC Stadium?
Pass.
Steve McLaren has been hired as a coaching consultant for a team in which country? Time's up.
Nightmare.
Hugh Keevans, I think safe to say that is the worst Beat the Pundit I've ever heard. And well, I was going to say I've only been on the show for a couple of months, but that must be the worst we've ever had.
Really? I thought Derek got a few right there, didn't I?
Do you?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Go over it again.
No.
I'll tell you what, we had an absolute horror show with Gordon DL a few weeks ago. Let's see if this one is any worse.
I'll see if I can answer them.
Which Scottish team have won their first three league games for the first time since 1991? James, you didn't know it. And in fact, that was a theme that was going to continue throughout your answers, James, if you don't mind me saying. Derek Johnson, you did know it though. You got St Johnstone.
St Johnstone.
So you're off to a winning start. So 1-0 to Derek.
I got one, yes.
Gary Naismith is the current manager of which Scottish Championship side? It's Queen of the South. So still 1-0 to Derek. Who were the last team to beat Celtic domestically back in May 2015, Hugh?
Is it Motherwell?
It's St Johnstone.
Oh.
Both of you went for Aberdeen. So still,
I didn't get any.
So still 1-0 to Derek. Shakhtar Donetsk and Olympic Donetsk are teams from which country? It is not Kiev and it is not Russia. It is Ukraine.
Ukraine.
So still 1-0 to Derek.
Splitting hairs.
You can see where you can see where this is going, can't you? Who plays their home games at the KC Stadium, Hugh?
Is it Hull?
It's Hull, well done Hugo, Hull City. Steve McLaren, you didn't get this far. James, just a wee bit slow sometimes. You've just got to pass and get through them quick. Steve McLaren's been hired as a coaching consultant for a team
in Israel.
It is in Israel.
Tel Aviv, aye.
So, the final score's on the doors.
I'll take it.
Derek Johnstone, one. James Devine, nil.
Sometimes you've got to win ugly.
I can't believe I got me 1-0.
Near can I, James.
Sometimes you've got to win ugly.
James, this is the first 0 of the season, so the official wooden spoon goes to you. I would say congratulations, but I don't think that's appropriate. But thanks for taking part.
You're very welcome.
Good man, James.
Well done, Derek.
Cheers.
Bye, James.
A win's a win. Doesn't matter how you win.
1-0.
A win's a win.
1-0. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Anyway, let's move on from that and try and talk about something a bit more impressive, and that was Hugh Keevans. Hamilton Accies performance, first and foremost, result, and that goal that they managed to score at Easter Road. Well, if you've not seen this one, guys, Rakesh Bingham getting the, I think that was the third goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Get on it, make sure you see it. Hugh is
I'm told
special.
I read that the Hibs supporters applauded it. Now, they know that the game is up for them. It's the third goal, it's 3-0. Hibs have had a rank bad day, and Hamilton have had a glorious day. but I'll repeat the expression. The goal is a thing of beauty and a joy forever. It is built from Hamilton's own half of the field. It contains several wonderful passes and a terrific back heel, which leads to the final pass and the execution of the goal by Rakesh Bingham. It is a thing of beauty.
Come on, Aki's fans, this is your chance to get in touch and celebrate. 01419511025. We hear from you a lot when things aren't going your way and Martin Canning's getting a bit of stick. Come on here, tell us what you thought of that performance and celebrate that goal, Derek, because we are probably quite hard on ourselves in the quality of the game up here. We see these things online that these people always come up with, you know, a video clip of Scottish football with the ball in the air and everyone has a good laugh at it, as if you can't pick a bad clip from any league in the world. So when we get a goal of that quality, we should shout about it and we should celebrate it.
Well, we'll keep talking about Coupon Busters, and that was one on Saturday. You know, it's as simple as that. And Hugh's right. You know, it started from their own half. There must have been eight or nine passes. But you know what got to me? Hamilton must have had about four or five players in the box.
Yeah.
Hamilton away from home at Hibs, yes, okay, they're 2-0 up, but you know, you're saying to yourself, when the first fella ran through, hit it from 20 yards, he passed it to the right,
Greg Docherty,
and
yeah,
and then again it was hit it there, no, he passed it in the middle again, and it was a tapping at the end. A fantastic goal, well done to them.
Well, let's hear from Martin Canning, because he says that the performance at Easter Road was one of the best he's seen in his time at the club. The Aki's beat Hibs 3-1 of course on Saturday, including that wonderful team goal finished off by Rakesh Bingham. Canning applauded that goal and said it was a day when just everything clicked.
No, the last couple of visits here have been good, and today obviously was no exception. It was probably one of our most complete performances since I've taken over. I thought first half we were good. I said to the boys at half time, we just a little bit more belief that we can win the game, and I thought second half we were excellent. The third goal in particular I thought was a great goal, great team goal. And really pleased today with the effort, the togetherness and the work rate. I think if you're a football fan, that was a fantastic goal. And it was well worked, and you have a composure right then. It's the kind of thing they do in training. When they're playing with belief and playing with confidence, it's a good bunch. And they work so hard for each other, and that's a pleasing thing for me. The goal was great, but the performance of the team, I think young Scott Wright-Mann again was outstanding. Every week he's getting better and better. Greg Docherty's the same. Obviously your older guys that sometimes get missed out, Doogie, Darien, Ali as well. I thought the three centre-backs today, also the other two along with Scott, were excellent as well. So I can't really fault, when you go through the team and the work that Rakesh and me Boydie put in as well for the shape of the team to allow us to get a foothold in the game was great. And it's one of the days when kind of everything just clicks, and hopefully we can have more of them.
Martin Canning on this programme has taken some awful abuse from Hamilton Aki supporters. They have called them for everything. If one of them had any decency, just one, they would come on tonight and pay due tribute to their team. 6 goals and 6 points in the last 2 weekends, beating Dundee, beating Hibs.
Now we do have Stevie on the phone. He's an East Kilbride, he's a Celtic fan. But Stevie, I believe you've got some thoughts on that Hamilton Aki's goal as well.
I have, pal. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, good, thanks.
How you doing? I'm an East Kilbride, but I'm originally from Hamilton. But as I said, I would just like to point on that Aki's goal. At the end of the day, that goal was phenomenal. I mean, if that was like Barcelona, Real Madrid, anything, I mean, it'd be on Sky Sports, everything all over the world. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I said, I think Aki's got quite a kind of a hard bit of grief, you know what I mean? Because over the past few seasons, a lot of pundits have always kind of tipped him to be the man that gets relegated. But they've always produced, you know what I mean? They've always dug it out. They've always produced good players. They've always produced good results. As I said, and they've always been kind of a happy team that have proved their worth. You know what I mean? As I said, I think he's just got a kind of a bit of a hard time here.
I don't know of anyone who didn't tip Hamilton Aki's to go down this season.
At the same time though, Hugh, that suits Hamilton, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It allows them to build up that siege mentality. Everyone's tipping us to go down, and it gives them something to play for.
But that third goal was beyond siege mentality. That was just...
Yeah.
Terrific football.
Yep.
If you're going to have an individual goal of the season so far, and bear in mind we're only at the 21st of August, if you want an individual goal, it's Kieran Tierney against Kilmarnock. If you want a team goal, it's Hamilton
Celtic.
Aki's.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Celtic one as well. As I said, Kilmarnock as well, the Celtic one.
Which one?
The Celtic goal as well. I mean, the one with the flick.
By Celtic or Rangers or Aberdeen or Hibs.
Yeah.
You know, it's on every minute of the day, you're right. And this one should be exactly the same.
Yeah,
it was terrific.
As I said, just to cut a quick spot as well, as I said, just like to say as well, Hugh, no, I mean, I agree with what you're saying as well, Celtic will be well-schooled at Astana on Wednesday night. As I said, there's not an issue, as they are predict maybe a 2-0 scoreline. As I said, and as well, see with Carl McGregor, I think Carl McGregor is going to be one of the most upcoming stars within the next couple of years. I think he's getting kind of underrated a wee bit, but Brendan Rodgers is bringing him in at the right times, at the right games, to show his potential. As I said, and I think that guy is one of the big things in the next few years to come, along with Tierney, Ralston, Miller. As I said, Celtic are producing the goods in it.
You know, there's so much going on at the club at the moment. We still await Patrick Roberts' arrival. As ever, the Celtic supporters will believe it when they see him with a Celtic scarf above his head being photographed for the papers.
Love it.
But Patrick Roberts is in the pipeline. Now tonight, Gordon has told us that Rivaldo Coetzee from South Africa is reportedly coming over to join Celtic. Brendan Rodgers talking about signing a striker before the window closes.
I think don't get me wrong, as I said, don't touch wood, but as I said, we've not got the mentality now to lose 5 goals that we've done years ago type of thing. I mean, that is just not in us, as you said, you know what I mean? You're going to be well schooled. That game, to me, is finished on Wednesday night. So, for me, I think, and we need, as I say, okay, well, Dembele is out just now on the rest of it, but go and pay £10 million. I know it's hard to bring a £10 million player to the Scottish Premiership, but the potential that we're shown now, I think there's some players out there that I can't think off the top of my head, obviously, but I mean, we're good at scouring the markets and bringing in great players. I'm pretty sure we could get somebody to come and, as I say, lead the line. And again, as I say, I know a lot of guys have said that as well, about a centre-half, a top quality centre-half. I think two players, that's all we need.
Well, I
two
think,
players.
As I say, it would be very interesting to see Rivaldo Coetzee when he gets here. You know, Olivier Cham, let's be honest, 1% of us had heard of Olivier Cham before he got here. And after a few weeks, they're now talking about him in glowing terms. Brendan Rodgers even saying he believes he could play for Barcelona. And he was £4.5 million. I don't see Celtic going £10 million for anyone. But there's so much going on. And the Champions League, once it is formalised tomorrow, will ensure that Celtic are able to bring on board Patrick Roberts. Coetzee apparently has signed, and a striker. That's what it means. It means you can speculate to accumulate now.
Thanks to Stevie and East Kilbride for that call. We kicked it off by talking about that Hamilton Accies goal. Some more good news for Accies fans. Greg Docherty has extended his stay at New Douglas. Well, it's now the Super Seal Stadium, of course, isn't it? How foolish of me. He's agreed a new 2-year deal, so he's going to remain at Hamilton until 2020.
Good
Another
player.
One has been catching the eye, Derek.
Yeah, very much so last season. He was the one man that came in. I was really, really impressed with.
Scored the goal, it kept them up, of course.
Yeah, but not only that, he doesn't score all that many goals, but as a midfielder, works hard. You know, he can tackle, he can do anything you want. Smashing play.
Neil Lennon took an awful lot of stick after what happened at Ibrox, but I thought his conduct after the game with Hamilton Accies was fine, because he made no attempt to use any excuses for anything. Right up front, better team won, and that's factually correct.
Kevin is a Celtic fan, but I think he wants to talk about the Scotland squad. Kevin, I've got a wee screen in front of me which tells me what you want to talk about, and it says, "I agree with the squad." I did not expect to get this call tonight. Tell me it's so.
No, definitely. Well, I was looking at the players he called up, comparison to the players in the last squad against England when they almost beat them. And everybody's playing, maybe with the exception of Snodgrass, everyone's playing well. And I just wouldn't change an unnamed team. I wouldn't change it. I think we could go to Lithuania and win, and then obviously, hopefully, beat Malta, and then that gives us a big chance of getting the playoff spot when Slovakia comes to Hamden in October.
Hugh, that goes back to something we mentioned earlier on, because we accept that it's not been a great campaign, but in relative terms, we're in not too bad a place if you look at the 4 points from the last two qualifiers. So is this the squad that you can at least understand that there's not that much change? Because he's looking at Gordon Strachan's going to look at the England game and say, well, that was a great result. It was only a couple of months ago. And then, of course, the game before that as well.
Paul, the very first caller tonight, used the expression, same old, same old. And to an extent, he's right. But that's Gordon Strachan. Gordon Strachan. Yeah,
that's what I mean. You're not going to rip up a squad when you've just had four points from the last two games.
You could throw the odd couple of players in that have done well. You don't have to play them, but get them with the squad. But he's going to stick by the ones that have got them there in the first place.
I would quibble with your assessment of it being we're in not a bad place.
No,
we're in a dreadful place.
No.
I think we're in a good place, actually.
No, I'm talking about if you take this campaign. This is the best we've felt about the campaign because of the last two games. We've taken 4 points. That's given ourselves a slight chance.
We've given ourselves a chance.
I remember you and me walking back from Wembley in November, having just been turned over.
Oof, what a long walk that
by
was.
By England. And I'm not sure that anything which has taken place
and
since
the train
then
was cancelled
has transformed everything. And worst of all, the bar was closed.
It was indeed. but that's my point though. You remember how you feel then. Surely the 4 points from the last two games is as good as we could really have expected.
I'm only concerned with, is it still feasible that we qualify? I don't happen to think it's feasible, but if anything goes wrong in Lithuania,
a wee victory there.
If you get a victory,
remember, so Slovakia are playing Slovenia in the next one, so that's huge. And then England host Slovakia after that, so you're really looking for those two perhaps to draw with each other, Scotland to win of course, and then England to beat Slovakia. You can see there's at least a glimmer of hope.
Yes.
Great stuff. Thanks to Kevin in Milton Le Campsie for his call. Now, something very special coming up in the next couple of minutes. We've got our Old Firm Golden Ticket competition. We've been talking about this for the last week, and the time is now upon us. So don't go anywhere. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here as always. Plenty more of your calls to come. We'll hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson after they got their first league points on the board as well. But first, let's do this.
A Baby Cooper special.
The Old Firm.
Gary Hooper scores.
Golden Ticket.
Now, all this week in Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got your chance to win an Old Firm Golden Ticket courtesy of Ladbrokes. So that's one Celtic winner and one Rangers winner will get a season pass to every Ladbrokes Premiership Old Firm game, home and away. All you need to do is be our super fan that's left standing at the end of the week. Each night we'll ask the contestant five questions about their team. If they get them all right, they stay on to the next night. And if they get one wrong though, we're on to the next caller. So Hugh Keevans, that means that if you're on tonight, if you're on first, you need to get 25 questions right to win the prize. But you never know, you could sneak on, technically, you could sneak on Friday, get one question right and walk away with the prize.
Ghost in at the far post.
Absolutely.
Aye, that's the way.
The Martin Peters of the day.
Now we're going to do one at this time and after the next break every night this week. So we will start with the Rangers questions tonight, shall we? We'll swap it around tomorrow night. Let's see what we've got in store tonight. Very dramatic, isn't it? Let's meet our first contestant of the evening. He is William Baird and he's from Clydebank. William, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, you feeling confident? 25 questions. You're the man in possession. You're the first up, so you're going to have to answer 25 right to stay on the leaderboard and walk away with this prize at the end. Think you can do it?
Hope so.
Don't sound too confident, William. Right, okay, let's get to the questions then, shall we? And I'll put you out of your misery. I'll just explain the rules to you. So you've got 5 seconds to answer each question. Obviously, you cannot pass, because as soon as you get one wrong, we move on to the next contestant. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, now try and get the answers in nice and quick, because once the whistle goes, the time is up, I'm afraid, okay?
Okay.
Good stuff. Right, you'll hear the clock go after I finish asking the question. So Rangers questions first, remember. Ready?
Yep.
Who is Rangers' all-time top goal scorer?
Alan Joyce.
Oh, I like that. Hugh Keevans off to a winning start. Confident stuff. He was straight in there, Ali McCoist. Next question. In what year did Brian Laudrup sign for Rangers?
96.
Oh. Time up, I'm afraid. Let's move on to the next one. I can't tell you if it's the right or wrong answer because we're going to have the same question obviously coming up for the next contestant. Thank you to William. Next up is Carl Clark and Douglas. Carl, you ready?
I am ready.
Right, same for you. We're going to start with a similar question. You ready?
Aye, on you go.
Okie doke. In what year did Brian Laudrup sign for Rangers?
1996.
And that's not the correct answer either, Carl Clark, I'm afraid. Goodbye to you. Let's move on. Let's get through them. Graham Clark next up in Clydebank. You ready, Graham?
Yep. Right. Graham Duff, no Graham Clark.
Oh, okay. Don't know what's gone wrong. Anyway, Graham Duff, right. I'll ask the question and then the clock will go again. In what year did Brian Laudrup sign for Rangers?
94.
And there we are, a man who knows his stuff. Ready? On to the next question.
Yep, carry on.
Okay, who was the manager of Rangers in 2003 when they won the treble?
Dick Advocaat.
Oh, I thought we were going to get in a bit of a run there. Graham Duff, honestly. It's a good bow, don't tell us. See, I just quickly got that one out the way. Let's see if we can get another contest. See, Hugh, the tension's building, isn't it? You see the way this is going
to
work?
Well, I know the answer to this one.
Well, don't give it away, Derek Johnson. Do you? Don't you dare tell us. Do you know it, though?
Right, I know who it is.
You know who it is. We're waiting to get another contestant lined up. Let's see if we can, shall we park this one for a second and see if we can get another contestant on the line. Let's see, let's get rid of this noise that's going to be doing everyone's nutting probably. Okay, so we'll get back to that. So that's the way it's going to work. You understand that. We'll have a couple more contestants tonight. Then after the following break, we'll do the same with Celtic. Derek, you fancy your chances? 25 in a row you'd have to get.
It's difficult, but that would be real knowledge. If somebody was to get that, then fantastic. It can't be 25 now.
Well, it's not. You're right. You're absolutely spot on. Indeed. Hugh, a lot more people getting in touch about, in case we haven't seen it. Of course, we now have that. Ajax Cape Town announcing that the sale of defender Rivaldo Coates to Celtic has been concluded, apparently, from the Ajax Cape Town side of things.
Yeah, he's 20 years old, we understand. Fits the profile, as I say, the current profile. Olivier Ncham, 21 years of age. Moussa Dembele, when he came into Celtic, was around the 20 mark. It's what Celtic do. But we'll have to wait until Rivaldo gets here, see the cut of his jib, as they say, and see if he's first team material straight away. Because if Celtic can bring in Coetzee from Cape Town and at the same time accept the money which is on offer for Ex-Fiachenko to go back home to Copenhagen, then you've got good business in your hands there.
Absolutely. And would you expect Patrick Roberts' deal to be concluded in the next couple of days finally
qualify? I think you'll be here before the end of the week, without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, for the Celtic supporters, this is like Christmas in August if they get Patrick Roberts, plus they get a new centre back in from South Africa, and if Brendan Rodgers can deliver on his promise to bring in a striker within the next 10 days, then all their birthdays will have come at once for the Celtic fans.
Now, the great thing about Monday is Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we get to take a look back at all the results over the weekend if we can. Hugh Keevans, let's hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson, because he says the weekend win over Ross County showed the character of the squad that he has. The Steelmen recorded their first league win after the 2-1 win against Ross County, but Robinson says the first half performance was simply not good enough.
You know, I thought some of our players thought we could just play total football and not have to win the battle and outstrength them and outfight them, and we can't do that. Second half we made changes, obviously, and changed our mentality or how we win the game, and I thought we outstrength them, outfought them, and then eventually outplayed them, obviously, with the 10 men helped out as well. But they showed great character to come second half and put in a performance like that. I'm passionate, and I didn't see as much passion as I wanted out there. We've won 6 out of 8 games now, and we've won them by outfighting and outscrapping people, doing the free stuff, I call it, in football, you know, running further than people, out jumping people, and then playing, and then, you know, getting people on the ball and playing, and we didn't do that today. And, you know, and again, not taking any away from Ross County, they played extremely well. So yeah, I let them know what we thought. You know, and the thing was, we got in at half time at 0-0, which we probably didn't deserve to do, and then we put in a very, very good performance second half.
Every team in every league in the world, Hugh Keevans, is always hoping that they can get that first 3 points on the board as early as possible, and after what Stephen Robinson calls an unacceptable first half, that must have come as a huge sigh of relief to see an upturn in the second.
Scored early on in the second half, which calmed everything down. They were fortunate first half because Ross County played very well, so that's all he has to worry about, Stephen Robinson. He's got the 3 points, build on that.
It's amazing, isn't it? You get a rollicking at half time and within a couple of minutes you get a goal. You know, they should give them a rollicking before the ball's kicked at 3 o'clock or whenever the game is there. But sometimes you need that. And he's honest enough to say, you know, well, we're lucky at going at nothing each, we're terrible. I gave them a mouthful at half time, they come out and have done the business. So the bottom line is they've got 3 points. You're absolutely right.
You know, we got to half time at Easter Road, it was 0-0, and we're talking about, surprised by that result. Neil Lennon will give them a rollicking. 3-0 down they were.
I think they're all listening to their music, their earphones in.
And I know a lot's been said about Louis Moult in the last couple of weeks, or a couple of months probably now, Hugh Keevan. So we know he's not going to sign the new deal. But I guess if he's going to be there for the remainder of the season, if no one comes in the next couple of weeks and he's going to score goals, then that's one way to smooth over any friction that may exist between fan and player. I'm not sure there will be between a guy like him, but
no.
But he's popular, isn't he, with the Motherwell fans?
I think it's a tightrope walk for the Motherwell fans, for the Motherwell management, because there are 10 days of this window left. And when you are someone like Louis Moult and you have the capacity to score goals, even with a side who are not giving you the greatest of service, but you're scoring prolifically, it's a tightrope walk. I'm not sure he'll still be a Motherwell player in 10 days' time.
The problem is, if in 8 days' time somebody does come in and give money, it doesn't give Motherwell a lot of time to try and get somebody else. Because he's a major part of their team.
That's why I think in England right now, Gordon, they're campaigning for the window to close before the season begins. So at least you know you're dealing with. And I think that's a fair arrangement.
The only problem with that, Hugh, it might not affect us as much as it would the English Premier League, but unless you're in line with the other major countries in Europe, then it's really not going to work, is it?
But as Derek points out, if Louis Moult does go over the course of the next 10 days, and for all we know it's the final day of the window and just before it closes,
that situation would still happen then. It just means that the window's closed at a different point. But you mean before the season?
But you can't get anybody else in.
Motherwell are into it now. They've had 3 games into the season. They've got their first points on the board. To lose Louis Moult at this juncture would be a severe blow.
What about Ross County then? Obviously, another defeat there. How do you assess them this season, the way it's looking? Because it was always going to be a tough ask losing the likes of Liam Boyce.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, Stephen Robinson admitting there that they managed to play just fine in the first half. But again, coming away with nothing, knocked out of the League Cup, of course, by Motherwell.
Well, you don't know what to make of them.
They beat Dundee in the first day at Dens Park.
That's true, yeah.
They play well against Aberdeen. It's 1-1, and Aberdeen get a late-ish goal to win it 2-1. And they've lost that game on Saturday, having played well for 45 minutes. So it's not a disaster. Disaster as far as points are concerned, but, they've had a decent start to the season.
Put it this way, when you're in Pedro Caixinha's position, which is precarious at the moment, you're not really looking forward to Dingwall on Sunday.
No. A team that they've drawn 3 times with last season.
Yeah,
absolutely not. Thomas is on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and he says, no full-time teaser ? Thomas, I can tell you the full-time teaser is going to be given a rest this week, because we've got this Old Firm golden ticket competition. We don't want it turning into a game show between Beat the Pundit, full-time teaser, 10 contestants on the Old Firm golden ticket. So this Old Firm golden ticket will take the place of the full-time teaser this week. Now, I think we do have another Rangers contestant lined up. Let's see if we can get further on, because remember, Hugh, it's the man who keeps the jersey to the end of the week who gets it. Let's get to the phone lines and see if we can speak to our next contestant. Sam is a Rangers fan in Spennymoor. Are you ready, Sam?
Yeah, I'm fine, pal. Yep.
Now, I'm wondering, did you catch the rules when we ran through them just a second ago? I'll tell you anyway, I'll refresh your memory.
Aye.
So you've got 5 seconds to answer each question. Obviously you can't pass, because as soon as you get one wrong, you're out. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense. So remember, all you need to do to be the super fan that's left standing at the end of the week is just keep getting the questions right. Simple as that. Alright?
Oh, easy peasy.
Easy, exactly. Easier said than done, perhaps, but we shall see. Okay, you ready? You'll hear me ask the question and then you'll hear the clock. You've got 5 seconds to answer, okay? Yes, absolutely, good man. Right, who was the manager of Rangers in 2003 when they won the treble? Sam, just not quick enough off the mark. That was Sam Park, a Rangers fan in Spennymoor. Unlucky. Let's see if we can get the next one on, shall we? Let's see who's next up. I think it's going to be Stephen Laidlaw in our Drossen. Stephen, are you with us?
Yes, I'm listening,
Paul. You are indeed. Okay, so same for you. You've got 5 seconds to answer each question. You cannot pass, so just try and be as quick as you can, because that's a couple of people being caught out by the full-time whistle, okay?
Righto, Paul.
Right, you ready?
Right.
Right. Who was the manager of Rangers in 2003 when they won the treble?
Walter Smith.
Oh my goodness, we're having an absolute nightmare. I'll fade Stephen down, because we don't want the right answer being given away, because of course the next contestant starts with that one. So Stephen Laidlaw and our Drossen was a Rangers fan. Hugh Keevans, I don't think anyone wants to stay on.
Oh, there must be someone who knows the answer to this one.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Well, you're not allowed to take part, I don't think so. Look at that, that's the time already. We did say we would get the Celtic contestants on very soon as well, so I'll tell you what, we'll take the break at the moment and we'll get the Celtic fans on the old...
that's how long it's taking.
we'll get the Celtic fans on in this Old Firm golden ticket. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are standing by at the moment. Hugh, we were joking a bit before the show came on. Brighton have not had a good start to the season. How are the grandkids coping with that?
Well, one of them phoned yesterday and said, they're rubbish. So there you
go. That seems like a fair assessment to me.
A two-word summation.
I thought they were lucky, Hugh, against Man City. They went a long time, you know,
yeah,
doing all right, and then a stupid mistake cost them.
Well, they brought in a player today, Ghanaian forward, who's with Sion in Switzerland. So the grandkids can give me their two-word assessment of him soon.
A baby Cooper special.
The Old Firm.
Gary Hoopball scores.
Golden ticket.
Okay, so now it's the chance for the Celtic fans, because all this week in Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got your chance to win an Old Firm golden ticket courtesy of Ladbrokes. So that's one Celtic winner and one Rangers winner will get a season pass to every Ladbrokes Premiership Old Firm game, home and away. All you need to do is be the super fan that's left standing at the end of the week. So each night we'll ask the contestant five questions about their team. If they get them all right, they stay on, and if they get one wrong though, we are on to the next caller. Sounds simple, but we tried the Rangers questions a bit earlier on, and I can tell you that it did not turn out that way. We're looking for a good bit of knowledge, because you're going to have to stay on, Celtic fans, 25 questions between you and this season pass. So let's meet the first contestant from the Celtic point of view, shall we? Okay, so I think first up tonight for Celtic questions is going to be Christine Smith, is a Celtic fan in Toll Cross. Christine, how are you feeling?
Aye, alright.
Just alright. I can believe it. How are you feeling about your team's chances tomorrow, first and foremost?
Off the date, no problem.
No problem at all. Christine's confident, you know. Hugh Keevans. Very confident indeed. Okay, well, we get straight to it, Christine. Listen, I'm sure you heard the way it works, but you've got 5 seconds to answer each question. Of course, you can't pass, because as soon as you get one wrong, your time is up. So just try and answer quickly. That's all I would say to you, all right?
Right.
Right, so you'll hear the question and then you'll hear the clock start, so as quickly as you can, okay?
Right.
Right, okay, first question is this for you. Who is the current assistant manager of Celtic? Okay, there we are, straight on, off to a winning start, I like that. Who's the current assistant manager of Celtic? It is Chris Davis. Second question. In what year did the Celtic Way open?
2015.
Oh, it was the wrong answer. It was, I think we just about squeezed it in before the end of the, before the full-time whistle went, Hugh Keevans, but that was the wrong answer. Thanks to Christine Smith in Toll Cross. Okay, we'll get another Celtic fan on in just a moment or two, Hugh Keevans. I'm looking through these questions. They're not too bad. We had to go at them in the office, didn't we?
Yeah.
They're doable.
Well, it's very difficult for people on the telephone. Five seconds, so much at stake.
If they're not on the radio, they can answer them like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when the pressure's on you, it's difficult.
It's the pressure, isn't it? It's the pressure. We had kind of started looking back to the weekend's action. Of course, there was, as always, plenty of talking points, plenty to get the teeth into. Just looking through some of the other results that we perhaps haven't touched on. Aberdeen again getting the win.
Yeah.
But perhaps more significantly, Stevie May getting 2 goals.
Well, you look at how Derek McInnes has brought in players since the end of last season, when so many good players like Hayes and McGinn and Jack left the club, and he's recruited very well. I think Stevie May is going to have quite a season. His second goal against Dundee was a beauty.
Yeah.
And he's a first-class player, was on the periphery of the Scotland squad at one stage before injury got in the way. I think he's going to prove to be a terrific signing for Derek McInnes.
I mean, you're spot on, Hugh, with that, with the players that he brought in, because I think everyone felt losing all these top players, players that had played the majority of last season and got Aberdeen where they were. But the major one was keeping the manager.
Yeah.
I think Derek McInnes knows the club, knows the players that can come in and do a turn for the club, and he's the main man at Aberdeen as far as I'm concerned.
15,000 people there on Saturday. 15,000 people. You know, so they've got a fine supporter base. Again, it was great to see nearly 17,000 at Easter Road, 50,000 at Ibrox, 10,000 at Kilmarnock. All right, 75-80% of them were Celtic supporters. But the product is good. You know, we're not the English Premier League. We're not La Liga. We're not the Bundesliga. But in terms of entertainment, I go back to the Ackies again. In terms of entertainment, there you are. What more do you want than that kind of goal? What more do you want than kind of football that Celtic are playing? Stevie May starting to score goals for Aberdeen. Little credit where it's due, please.
Yeah, Hamilton Ackies, obviously the win at Easter Road. You mentioned Neil Lennon's post-match comments. Well, let's hear from him. Remember, it was an impressive win at Ibrox the previous week. And then, of course, it was a back down to earth, I suppose, against the Ackies at Easter Road.
Well, we didn't deserve the win. Better team won second half. I thought there was a flatness about us today. Even first half, I thought we were on top, but you know, not, there was no zip about us. And we had some good chances, but we didn't take them, obviously. So we asked the players at half-time, you know, we need some more urgency about us, and I got the exact opposite response. So the better team won. They were streetwise, they were smart, they defended far better than us, far better. And the first two goals are, you know, comical as far as I'm concerned. But again, it comes from us being very, very poor defensively. We've had a great start to the season. I think a lot of things, nice things have been said about the team. The mentality of the team, this, that and the other. We weren't there yet, we're far from finished article, and we are still far from the finished article.
Well, they're at Dens Park at the weekend, and you know, a few tales will be told there when Neil McCann meets Neil Lennon, because Dundee could use a result. Hibs will certainly be going after a result after what happened to them on Saturday. So I think on Sunday at Dens, that's going to be quite a game.
You know the strange thing, Hugh? He went on there, but asked the players to give us a wee bit more urgency. He couldn't have got enough of that the week before. Yeah. Everybody was up for it. It's amazing. After that, on a high, you come down and you're playing a team you're expected to beat, and all of a sudden, there's a lack of urgency.
I suppose it was the old wake up call, wasn't it, Hugh Keevans? And I suppose it doesn't hurt for to get one like that so early in the season, because as Neil Lennon said himself, so many nice things being said about the. Been about the team, you know, going to Ibrox and winning, and many people tipping them to finish high up the league. So I suppose there's always the danger that people start to believe the hype, and to get the wake up call maybe can stand them in good stead going forward.
If you accept it was the wake up call, then you better have evidence of it having worked in your next game. And the next game happens to be at Dens, and Dundee are struggling right at the very start of the season. They've had the good cup result against Dundee United. They've got the favoured draw at home to Celtic. But they need to show their fans that they can do something before league run.
But you know what, Hugh? Hibs will fill that end at Dens Park. They will take support away. So the atmosphere at Dens Park is going to be electric next Sunday.
There were 17,000 Hibs fans at Easter Road on Saturday. And Hamilton Ackies, to use the West of Scotland colloquialism, gubbed them.
Did you feel for Dundee a bit of the weekend, Hugh Keevans? They go up the park, and in one attack, they managed to have two strikers injured. They can't get the substitutes on quick enough. They then have a chance to put the ball out. They don't take it, and Aberdeen score.
Well, first of all, they were punished for stupidity, because a Dundee player had the chance to put the ball out of the park.
Still fairly unlucky before that, though, isn't
but
it? Two strikers
but I don't
injured
understand
in one.
That. Yeah. He knows these players are down. Yeah. The first thing he would want to do is kick that ball out of play.
Also, Scott Allen, who had missed a penalty the weekend before at Hamilton, had the chance to put Dundee 2-1 up, and is giving greater and greater evidence that he could not hit a barn door.
Let's see what Stevie and Paisley has to say. He's on the phone lines giving us his thoughts on the Scotland squad. Stevie, good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, good. You?
Hi, not too bad. It's calmed down a wee bit for the Scotland squad today. So,
did you get yourself in a bit of a state over it, Stevie? We've all been there.
Yeah, we're always there. The ones that are always left in the lurch again, and I've stood by Gordon Strachan through thick and thin, and if we get a result again, then obviously there's nothing else we can do. But I've raved about Callum McGregor for 4 years now, and I think Gordon sticks with experience constantly. But Barry Bannon, Snodgrass, for me, they just don't cut it at international level anymore. I think the young boy deserves a chance. He should be in the team. He's scoring goals regular, and he's a far, far better player than these two boys put together, never mind from where it comes on as a sub. Then I think he would have a more impact.
Take Stevie's point, Hugh, that if Robert Snodgrass, he isn't playing at the moment, he's frozen out at West Ham, then he can't really be in form. Having said that, it was only 8 months ago that he moved in the English Premier League for £10 million. So he can't become a bad player in that time.
No, but as I say, current form. Whatever happened to current form? There are 12 midfield players chosen by Gordon Strachan today. Are we to believe that Callum McGregor is not able to be included in a list of 12 midfield players? So his form for Celtic domestically and in Europe has justified his inclusion.
He should be in the squad. We're not saying he's going to go out and play in the game. He might go on the bench and maybe come on. You're right, as an impact player, he's done it before. He comes on, he can score goals for you, but he should be rewarded for good play for his club, and domestically and at European level, by getting in that squad.
Stevie's right. Stevie's right in that Gordon Strachan sticks with the tried and trusted. Now, he is a conservative manager with a small c. He's a conservative manager. Now, conservatism will only take you so far. If by sticking to the old war horses, the tried and tested, call it what you will, if you don't qualify, then you encourage people to say, look, it's time we get somebody younger in and somebody who's willing to look to the future with younger players.
I suppose the other thing, Stevie, as well, is with all the Celtic players already in the squad, I suppose we've seen the fruits of that already, but you add to it, don't you? Because if you've got McGregor in a midfield which contains Stuart Armstrong and Scott Brown and is playing in front of Kieran Tierney and behind Lee Griffiths, then you're kind of building on that success that Celtic have been having.
Yeah, then, and obviously we don't want to go down that road. However, if you're good enough and you're the best player, you should be playing. The flip side of what Derek was saying was Snodgrass went for £10 million.
That was me, sorry. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yep. You're talking about the young boy Oliver Burke that went for 11 or 12 million.
Yeah, and he looks like he's on his way
frozen back. Frozen out completely. And that young boy can't even make it into the squad. I think he made it into one squad since Gordon's taken over. Now, if we're looking at youth and we're looking to build, surely these young boys are going to be good enough to come through and say,
Stevie,
I'm getting both.
I think in fairness, in the case of Oliver Burke, Gordon Strachan's given him a chance. Hughie obviously doesn't see enough of Oliver Burke in a defensive capacity to justify putting him in at the moment.
I'm looking at this from another angle, Stevie. You know, if you have a team who have gone 52 domestic matches unbeaten and you have a chance of utilising that Celtic strength in as many ways as you can, and remember we're talking about a Scotland team who are fourth in the group here, the qualification group, I think you should take advantage of that.
Stevie,
we're crying out for goals. They can't deny that. That young boy has just got an eye for goal. I'm not saying he's any better than what the midfield. You were talking about it earlier, there's going to be three spaces up for grabs for the midfield for me. I think there's only two. Scott Brown's going to play. So as you said, you've got 11 players there vying for two spaces. Surely the young boy's good enough to come on, get us a couple of goals if required. But when you bring people on for the bench, it's the same all the time. Barry Bannon. As soon as he comes on, it just drains the life out of me. But that's just my own personal opinion, do you know what I mean?
That's why I say, you know, people have spoken here tonight about Jason Cummings, about Simon Murray, those who represent the future. Callum McGregor comes into that category. We've got Anthony Ralston, Calvin Miller breaking through here now. If Gordon wants to remain the conservative manager who goes with the tried and tested, and we still don't qualify, then you say, okay, it hasn't worked. Two failed qualification campaigns, blackboard, new manager, fresh legs, fresh ideas.
Okay, we're getting towards the end of Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh, by the time we come on air tomorrow night, Celtic will have finished the game in Astana. What will we have learned? What situation will we be in by then?
My suspicion is you'll have learned that this is a professional approach from Celtic, ingrained in the players by Brendan Rodgers. I'm not even sure that they'll win the match, but they will certainly not suffer any calamity. They'll be in the draw for the Champions League group stages on Thursday.
Great stuff. Well, join us tomorrow night. We'll bring you all the post-match fallout from that one. Thanks to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to everyone who got in touch on the phone lines, on Twitter at Well. Now remember, you can still apply for the Old Firm Golden Ticket competition at ClydeOne.com. Don't go anywhere though, because Callum Gallagher is up next, and he's going to be joined by Ella Eyre on tonight's show. But as for us, it's good night.
Bye night.
Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.